I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. We'll stand together, and hopefully there's somebody with a good note who will be able to get us. So let us stand, please, and we sing.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor content
unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us come to the Lord. Ask him to be with us and speak to us even here this day. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee with rejoicing in our hearts. O Lord, that we would consider, that we would survey the cross of Christ, that we would consider what he has bore for us. O Lord, may our hearts be filled with that thanksgiving. May our hearts be filled with wonder. O Lord, and all, for Lord, we cannot even begin to comprehend and take it in what our Saviour did bear in our place. O Lord, when we consider the agony upon the cross, as we consider the cruel mocking of those around him, as we think, Lord, of that pierced brow, the pierced hands and feet, as we think, Lord, of the agony of even just trying to get the latest breath upon the cross. O Lord, as he there slowly suffocated. Oh Lord, what pain, what agony. But Lord, beyond those things, yes, we can have a comprehension of pain and suffering, but Lord, to understand what it meant. For Lord, thou to pour thy wrath upon him. That Lord, what it was like for him in those hours of darkness, we cannot comprehend. But Lord, that we would be still and consider what Christ has done for us. That we consider that awful death. O Lord, a death which was an equivalent to an eternity in hell. O Lord, we cannot take it in. But Lord, yet we can stand in wonder. And Lord, we can consider our own lives. And surely we can with the hymn writers say, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. O Lord, we give so little in comparison to what Christ has done for us. O Lord, we do so little, and Lord, we know we could never match what Christ has done, yet Lord, we seem to fail to try. But Lord, we pray that here we stand, we're only into this new year, that Lord, thou would change us. That, Lord, this year will be different. Lord, that thou would use me in a way that there hasn't before. That, Lord, thou would challenge me, Lord, of where I have been barren and dry in my service for thee. O Lord, we pray that thou would revive us, O Lord. That thou, Lord, would quicken us, Lord, from our slumber and our sleep. That, Lord, we would speak through thy servant of, O Lord, that we would consider our ways. That, Lord, we would consider, Lord, what our priorities are. Just even like those children of, O Lord, in that book of Haggai, O Lord, they cared for their own houses. They cared for their own things. Yet, Lord, thy house lay desolate. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us a vision of the heavenly. That thou, Lord, this year would give us a vision of what, Lord, is important. That, Lord, our eyes will be turned upon thee. That, Lord, our focus, our whole will would be bent in accordance, Lord, with what thou would have us to do. O Lord, we ask thee to work in our hearts, we pray. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a God who ever loves us. And Lord, even when we feel thou dost come back and thou dost draw us back unto thee. O Lord, we rejoice that even as that prodigal son, Lord, how he went into the mire and, Lord, how he went into the sin. Yet, Lord, thou did work. And Lord, there was that drawing back. There was that coming to his right mind. And Lord, we pray that for some loved one, Lord, even amongst this congregation here. That, Lord, they have wandered in days gone by. But Lord, we rejoice that thou wilt draw them back. Lord, like the Father, thou art standing there waiting. O Lord, with compassion, Lord, thou art there. With joy, thou wilt receive them. O Lord, we thank thee, Lord, this day that thou art indeed married to the backslider. We thank thee, Lord, for those words of promise when thou didst say, I will never break my covenant with thee. O Lord, we rejoice that thou art a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And Lord, while we have failed thee, while, Lord, we have forsaken thee, Lord, many a time, Lord, we rejoice that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. O Lord, draw near unto us in this gathering this day. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to encourage us, thou wilt be pleased to challenge us. O Lord, that thou be pleased to convict even, Lord, the unsaved amongst us of sin. That, Lord, thou would do a work this day. That, Lord, thou would save souls for thy honour and for thy glory. We pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased to save souls, that, Lord, that we would praise thee. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art the sovereign God. And, Lord, we are not the ones who save. We cannot save. We cannot cause an anxious thought. But, Lord, yet that may not stop us to pray to the God who can. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art almighty. We thank thee, Lord, that thou canst save and thou wilt save in accordance with thy will. Therefore, Lord, we pray that thy will be done this day. That thou will add unto this church this day such as should be saved. And, Lord, that there will be a rejoicing, Lord, in heaven. And a rejoicing, Lord, on earth. On some dear soul brought out of the pit of sin. And sat upon the rock which is Christ Jesus. O Lord, be with us. We pray, Lord, that thou will own this meeting from beginning to end. And Lord, what we pray for this meeting, we pray too for our brother in Corrigari today. We thank thee, Lord, for him. Thank thee, Lord, for his faithfulness, Lord, his love for thee. And Lord, it is my prayer that, Lord, in my absence and in his presence there, that thou would be pleased to do a work, Lord, that maybe there would not have done for me. That, Lord, today you have saved some soul. O Lord, one maybe who has been long prayed for. And Lord, maybe some loved one is at their wits' end for. O Lord, that this day they be in under the sound of the word. That, Lord, thou would speak to them, Lord, in a way that only thou can do. And Lord, that our brother will have the pleasure of pointing them to Christ. O Lord, bless. Everywhere, Lord, thy word will go forth this day. But Lord, we pray for our churches. We pray for every faithful witness up and down this land. That, Lord, Christ will be preached. That, Lord, thou would receive the honour and glory. And, Lord, people will leave rejoicing in Jesus Christ the Lord. O, be with us. Help us, Lord, as we stay on in thy presence. O, Lord, still us. Take away distracting thoughts. Take away, Lord, the worries of yesterday and tomorrow. O, Lord, that we would be still. And we would know that thou art God. O, please, Lord, to be with the sick of this congregation. Be of those who are in need. Lord, as we prayed in the prayer time, we think of those who are lonely. Those, Lord, who feel they are alone. But Lord, may they know this day the everlasting arms of God round about them. May they know thy presence. Lord, may they know thy help. Oh, give abundantly. Lord, give, Lord, according to thy riches in glory. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a gracious God, a giving God, Thou hast told us, Lord, that if we would but open our mouths, Thou would fill them. And Lord, we pray that Thou would fill our mouths with praises this day. Oh, be with us now. Continue on in our presence, we ask. For we ask all these things in Jesus' precious and glorious name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, in God's Word to Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. And then we're going to break into the chapter from verse 10. We'll read to the conclusion of it. That's Jeremiah chapter 28, beginning at verse 10. We read, "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Amen. We do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word in this portion. We have a man who feels he can take on the position of prophet. As we see here, he brings a message that the people want to hear. Yet it is not the message of the Lord. And what a picture that is of so many today. There's so many men who are preaching the message that the people want to hear. A message that tickles the ears and pleases the hearer. But we see even from this that there is upon them the judgment of the Lord. And may that be a solemn warning to many in this world today. That God will bring them into judgment on his hand. And his judgment is always there at his appointed time. But that is not our consideration today. As we look at this, we will look at it in a bit of time. But before that, let us come again to the Lord in song. Let us praise him with the singing of the hymn 236. Hymn 236, a hymn of great challenge to us today as a congregation. The thought of one dying without a Saviour, of him saying, Out of Christ, without a Saviour, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Hymn 236, let us stand together again as we sing unto the Lord. Let us stand. I'll ask you to turn with me again, please, to that chapter we read together, Jeremiah chapter 28. And God's word before you, let us just unite our hearts once more before we come to the preaching of his precious word. Let us pray. Our loving God, we come before thee. We thank thee for this book which is before us. We thank thee, Lord, that it is not like any other book. We thank thee, Lord, that it is not the words of man. But Lord, we rejoice that it cometh from thee. It is by that inspiration that is breathed by thee. And Lord, we ask thee, Lord, to, as thou didst speak, as it was written, Lord, thou wouldst speak to us this day. Speak, Lord, to our hearts. O Lord, challenge us. O Lord, do that which only thou can do, we pray. O Lord, fill with thy spirit. Fill me, Lord, that thou may use me this day. And fill, Lord, each one of us for the receiving and for the doing of thy word. O Lord, hear us now. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. With a new year comes many uncertainties. Oh, we know there will be trials. We know there will be troubles. And I wonder, have you ever thought to yourself, wouldn't it be great to know what is ahead? Wouldn't it be great to know what trials and troubles lie ahead in the future? Maybe you've thought like that. Maybe you haven't. Now, for all of us, I'm sure we have some idea of some of the things that we will face this year. For we know that the difficulties that were in 2021, that they don't just magically disappear at the end of the year. And those troubles, those trials are most certainly going to come with us into this year in many ways. Yet even with that, there is a reality that we still know very little of what is coming ahead. We know very little of what challenges that we will be called to face. And even God's word, the book of Proverbs in chapter 27 and verse 1, it goes even further, for it not only presents to us the uncertainty of the year, but even the uncertainty of tomorrow. For that verse says, Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, not even our year, but our very tomorrow is full of unknowns. Oh, if we knew what would come our way tomorrow. If we knew what we have to face this year. As I said, that maybe you thought you'd have loved to. If we knew what would come our way in the future. In this coming year. I wonder how would that affect how you would live today. If you knew what is ahead. What you're going to have to face. Would that affect how you live in this moment, this day? Now, sadly, your minister or I, neither of us have the gifts of an Old Testament prophet. And neither of us or no other man can tell you what it is you are going to have to face this year. However, the verse that I want us to look at together this morning is the words of, indeed, a prophet of God. A prophet who had the message from the Lord, who indeed could tell someone what lay ahead for him. And that verse that I want us to consider this morning is the words there of verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 28 and the verse 16. It says there, Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Now, I don't want us really to consider the entirety of this verse this morning, but it is those striking words found there in the middle of the verse, very solemn words. Those words where Jeremiah the prophet says, this year thou shalt die. Now, I trust that you got your motto text last Lord's Day. Now, this would not be a very encouraging motto text to give to a church, would it? To stand up and say, your motto text for this year is, this year thou shalt die. Now, these are the words I want us to consider this morning. These were prophetic words, I say, from the prophet of God, Jeremiah, to Hananiah, the false prophet. And the words simply a message from the Lord telling them that before the year would end, he would be dead. And dear friends, while I tell you that none of us know what a day may bring forth, the question I want to pose to you and to myself this morning is to consider these prophetic words. These, yes, prophetic words to this false prophet Hananiah, but I want us to pose the question, what if? What if these words are indeed prophetic for me or you? What if these words are true for us? that this year you or me shall die. Oh, we don't know. Of course, we don't know what the day we bring forth. The reality is we cannot be certain of anything. But they also have to say the reality is that we cannot be certain that this is not true for us either. None of us know what the day may bring forth. And I want us to take these words and contemplate them and ask that question. If we could know this was our reality, if I could stand here today and tell you that the message from the Lord to you this day is this year you shall die, how would you live your life? How would your life differ? How would these words, this reality, affect your life? Oh yes, these were in their context to Hananiah. But as I say, none of us know what will happen in 2022. And these words indeed could be true from the youngest to the oldest in this gathering today. And therefore, with such a reality, I want us to be stirred by these words. And from these words, I also want them to be words of warning to any who are unsaved. Oh, may saved and unsaved alike, may we contemplate these words. This year thou shalt die. What if this will be our last January? What will if this will be the last time that Reverend Omar and myself will have a pulpit swap because myself or him would see death? What if this is your last time to hear one of us preach? What if this year will be your last or my last? It is these questions I want us to consider together this morning. Oh, let us at the very least hypothetically take these words as words to us this day. And at the very least ask, what if this is our final year upon this earth? This is a solemn consideration. This is a serious consideration. And let us make every effort to consider this together right now. How would such a reality of this year being our last change us? Consider with me firstly how such a reality should affect how we live. How we live. How such a reality, this year we shall die, how that reality would affect how we will live. If the truth be told, we all to some degree or another, we seem to behave in such a way that we seem to believe that we're going to live forever. That seems to be the way we behave. We don't contemplate that we have a very short time upon this earth, and we seem to live as if we're going to go on forever upon this earth. We live in a sense that's of no urgency. Oh, we have goals, we have ambitions that we push further and further down the road. We run what we would call the rat race of life year after year, just merely getting by, pulling off things which we could do now, saying we'll do it at some day in the future. Now, I have very little idea what any of your dreams and aspirations are. And what it is you have been putting off doing, maybe for years, maybe some dream. You're in a job and there's some dream which you'd far rather be doing, and you think, one day I'll do that. One day I'll go and travel the world, or one day I'll say, do my dream job. I don't know what it is. Well, there may be many things that you've pushed off, and this sense that you think, life, there's going to be time to do these things at some point in the future. But what if you are to receive the same news that Hananiah did? Would you continue to live as you have lived for the past years? Or would that news that this year is your last, that this last 365 days, this is all you've got left, before those days will be out, you will be gone. Would that not change your priority? Would that not change how you would live? Would you not finally, surely take the plunge and do that which you have been putting off doing? Now please don't misunderstand what it is I'm really trying to talk about today. I am not some life coach. I am not some motivational speaker telling you today to go out through this place to ring your boss and say you're following your dreams. That's not what I'm talking about today at all. But you see, what I'm trying to illustrate to you is this. If you knew that this year would indeed be your last, you would certainly change the way you live and you might go after your dreams. But the point I'm trying to make is this. If you can see that yes, you would change your life, I want you to see that with such a reality that this year would be your last, surely every day would be precious. No one day would be wasted. Every day would be used and nothing would be put off at risk of it not being done. In other words, staring death in the face It has the tendency of making one reevaluate what really is important in life. And you see, what will be true of these earthly ambitions and desires which I have mentioned surely should be the same of indeed what is truly important, the spiritual. Oh, surely more for the spiritual. To be knowing that this year would be your last, surely it would make us reevaluate our efforts for God. It would give us a heavenward perspective. Surely it would give us a sense that our life is very short and we must live it for the Lord while we can. How different our approach and attitude would be to the things of God if we thought we only had a short few months left to live. Or if we were sure. And to say it's a thing maybe we don't want to contemplate, we don't want to consider the brevity of our life. It's a thought maybe you want to put off like so many other things. But put yourself, please, in the shoes that you've been received the news as a message to your soul that this year you will die. And as a child of God, you receive that message. If you were sure you would die this year, I wonder, would you then be too shy or too embarrassed to share the gospel with some loved one who is still unsaved and you're going to leave behind? No, I would hazard a guess that shyness, the embarrassment, the excuses of lack of ability would be out the window and you'd be telling that person, you'd be urging that person to be saved. There would be an urgency to reach that person with the gospel of Christ because you know in the short few months you would be gone. You see how we would change our lives if we lived with a sense of gravity. If we have a few short months to live, we would not be spending our time worrying about that which we cannot take with us to heaven. But surely our mind and our focus will be upon the eternal. Those things which do not rust. Those things that do not corrupt. Oh, where we see that we need this heavenward perspective, this sense of urgency, this reality of how short our life can be. Well, the fact is, in contemplating this year could be our last, and how we might live our life differently shows us that in our heart we know that we are presently not living as we ought to live, or even that we want to live. We're putting things off to a future which is far from guaranteed. We're putting things off we know we should be doing now. None of us know what the day may bring forth. The only day we are guaranteed of is today. So therefore, it is today, is the day that we need to do what we can for the Lord. Oh, let us live, therefore. Let us live like this year is indeed our last. Let us do what we can while we can. Oh, let us not take one day for granted. Let us not foolishly trust in an uncertain future. As I think of foolish trusting in an uncertain future. I think of that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told about the foolish farmer. We want to turn over to that portion in Luke chapter 12. We have that account, and trust you know very well, has been preached many a time. The foolish farmer in Luke 12, in the verses 18 to 20. Luke 12, verses 18 to 20, we read in those verses, "And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Now in verse 18 we see a farmer doing what many farmers still would do today. That is, any little bit of money that they make, and many a farmer will tell you that they don't make any money, but on a good year, maybe they make a few pounds. And that little bit of money that is made, they reinvest it back into the farm. They don't use it in taking the wife out to dinner or anything like that. It's put back into the work of the farm. And that's, in one sense, this is what this man here is doing. And that's not the issue. That's not the problem that has been presented here. But you see, this man foolishly thought that he has it all. This foolish farmer thought he had everything. And part of everything that he thought he had was many years. He thought he had many years. He thought he had years to take his ease, and he had all the years ahead of him. Well, he foolishly thought he would live for many years. Yet we see from this, not only would he die that year, but actually that very night, he would breathe his last breath and see this world no more. We plan so much for tomorrow, not realizing that tomorrow would never come. We may have many years to live. We may. It is my prayer that God has chosen to spare each and every one of you for many years to come, to use you upon this earth. But God may have chosen to spare each and every one of us in such a way. But that does not mean that we should live as if that is guaranteed. But we need to live as if these words from Jeremiah are words to our soul. This year thou shalt die. If this year we must die, how will we live the days that are left? An unsaved one, what about you? Surely you have to admit that you are continually putting off what you need to do today. Of course, I speak of your need of salvation. Oh, you would say, oh, I know I need to be saved, but not today. Some other time, some other day, some other year. But dear friend, what if that day, what if that year never comes? What if these words of Jeremiah are indeed words of warning to your never dying soul today? What if these words is God's message to you that he needs you to hear? This year thou shalt die. What if this year you will have that appointment with death and no preparation has been made? But be sure that no preparation is made for death. You will have an eternity in the torments of hell to dwell on how you put off salvation while you had the opportunity to repent and believe. Consider again those words of verse 16. It says, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Oh, how solemn these words are. This man to be told by the messenger of God that death was imminent. Surely that would shake the hardest of men to their core. But you see, the only thing that makes this man different from you is that you do not know when death may come. Oh, you will not see. You will not see that. Therefore, you not see that you can't put getting saved off any longer. That you do not know this man had a warning. He knew when his death would come, but you don't. It could come in an instant. You do not know, and therefore may you see your need to be saved now. Those words which are often repeated, and probably you've heard many a time unsaid, when 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. O dear unsaved one, only this day is guaranteed. Therefore, you need to be saved today. Today is the accepted time. Behold, the day is your day that you need salvation. The question we've been asking, or been seeking to answer thus far, is how would we live if we knew this year was our last? Surely it would change us. Would it not change you if you knew this year was your last? But the reality is that if you unsaved one remain unsaved, you will never live. But as God's word tells us, you'll simply remain dead in your trespass and sin. Oh, will you not come therefore today and be saved? And receive life and life eternal. Oh, you may say, I don't need Christ. I can live without Christ. I can live without this God that is preached. Oh yes, you may live without him, but you cannot die without him. May you see you need a Savior. And Christ alone can be that one. Unsaved and unsaved. If this year thou shalt die, how will you live? Let me now ask a different question. If this year thou shalt die, how will you die? If this year thou shalt die, how will you die? Now again, look at verse 16. It says, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Now in our first point, we are really considering the time of death. This year thou shalt die. To know the year, the time of your death. That's really what we're focused on. To know when we would die surely would affect how we live. Considering, yes, the time of the death, but in this point, we're really focusing on the type of death that we will die. If this year we will die, what type of death will we die? Now I'll be asking you to consider how you will die. or what I've just called the type of death, I'm not asking you to consider the cause of death in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, what type of death would you have if you died this year? Spiritually speaking, if you must die this year, how would you die? Again, consider the words before us. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Now, in this verse, Jeremiah instructs the false prophet Hananiah that he would die that very year. We see from the opening verse of this chapter that this message of death was given in the fifth month of the year. That's what the opening verse tells us. It says, and it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month. So here we are, it's the fifth month as we come to in this chapter. Then if you come to verse 17, if you look at that, the closing verse, we see when this prophecy was fulfilled. It says, so Hananiah, the prophet, died the same year in the seventh month. Well, he was told by Jeremiah this year he would die. But he didn't even have a whole year to live. In the space of 2 months, Hananiah was dead. But we see not only the time and haste of his death, but we also see from our text the type of death or how he died. Now you may say, no, we don't. We've read this together and it doesn't tell us what death he died. It doesn't tell us if he was murdered. It doesn't tell us if he died in some kind of strange accident. If there was some underlying illness that took hold. Or if there was some other natural cause. We're not told in that sense how this man died. Yes, in a spiritual sense we do see how this man died. Jeremiah tells him in verse 16 the cause of his death and how he would die. You see, verse 16 shows us that Hananiah would die the death of a rebel against God. Because there at the end of it he says, if this year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. He was a rebel, and one who taught rebellion against God. He had this influence on the people, turning them from God. And as such a rebel, he would die. In the space of 2 short months, the prophecy was fulfilled. There was no escape for him. He would die as he had lived. He lived in rebellion against God. And so this is the type of death he would die. The death of a rebel. And today as we look at these words of Jeremiah and consider them in terms of your own life upon this earth. And as you would one day close your eyes in death, I wonder what death will you have? If you were to die this year as you lived last year, how would you die? Would you like Hananiah die as a rebel? An enemy of God. That shouldn't have been an easy sentence to say because it is an awful reality. Sure, that's an awful reality, an awful way for anyone to die. To die as a rebel and an enemy of God. To die without hope. To die without a savior. To die under the wrath of God. And dear friend, may you realize that to die as such is to die today without an excuse. You see, these words, as I said, may they be a word of warning. You have been warned that even though it may not be this year, thou shalt die, you will die. You have been warned that you need to be saved. You will die, therefore, without excuse. Oh, may you be warned that you will face death. And may you be warned that what you are in life will determine what you are in death. Oh, you will die. You will face the judgment of God. God's word makes it abundantly clear that both death and judgment are to be faced. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die. There is death. And then it says, but after this the judgment. There is death and there is judgment. Never unsaid will you continue to ignore that in your present condition you are without a Savior. Will you continue to ignore that you know not what a day may bring forth? Never put these two things together. Today you are without a Savior. Means tomorrow that you could be dead before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, do you not see the perilous position that you find yourself in today? That if you continue to live as a sinner, I wonder, are you ready to die as one? Are you ready to face eternal judgment for that sin? Oh, may the words of David in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3 remind you that you're tinkering on the very brink of eternal death this day. In that verse he says, there is but a step between me and death. In reality, that's the same for all of us. We do not know. We are just but a step between any of us and death. Non saved one, I urge you, I plead with you to see that you need to turn to Christ. You need him as your Savior in life, that he will be your Savior in death. Once saved one, see the seriousness of these words today. And before we move on to a short concluding point, let us who are saved consider the same question. If this year thou shalt die, what type of death will you die? Child of God, what type of death is it we would die? For a Christian, you see, death should not be feared. As I start off this message and tell you that today we're going to consider, this year thou shalt die. I wonder what that makes you think of as you would contemplate that with me, that this could be your last year. Does that fill you with fear? Does that fill you with an anxiety and nothing else? But you see, for the Christian, death should not be something that we fear. You see, why should we not fear it? Because the Christian does not die the death of a rabble. The Christian dies the death of a saint. Oh, what a wondrous death to die. Psalm 116, verse 15, gives an insight of how wondrous such a death is. Tells us in that verse, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. Well, Christian, if this year would be my last or your last, may such a reality stir us to live while we are alive, to see how short our life is, how short our existence is, to live with such a sense. Like in John Van Edwards of old, with what an eternity stomped upon his eyeballs. That's the way we may be considering. Not considering ourselves, but considering eternity, considering what lasts. Knowing that it's such a short time. Knowing that the day will end and it will soon be night. May we live for him while we can. But may we also not just consider how we would live, but as we consider death, that we only, like anybody, are only one step away from it, may it not fill us with fear. For in death we die, the death of the saint, precious in the sight of the Lord. See, death should never be something that the Christian fears. Now, of course, that's easy to say. Because I know any Christian, as they maybe sense they know that their time upon the earth will be coming to an end, they don't necessarily fear death itself, but they fear the consequences. That is, they worry about those who will be left behind. They worry about those they care about. There's causes of concern and worry. But death itself should not cause the child of God to fear. For we know Christ has defeated it for us. Never has Christ has defeated death for us. We, like the Apostle Paul, can say there in 1 Corinthians 15, those verses 55 to 57, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this victory through Christ, because he has died for us. Or as Hebrews 2 verse 9 puts it, says, But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Oh, we don't have to worry about death because Christ has tasted death for us. Today we consider two questions. First, how we should live. If we knew this year was our last, and secondly, how we would die with the same realization. But as we conclude this morning, let me ask another question. It's really, I suppose, summarizes these first two thoughts. The question I pose in conclusion is this. If these words of Jeremiah were indeed true for us, if this year we shall die, if these words are true, who will we live and die for? If this year was our last, and we knew it, not only how would we live and how would we die, but who will we live and die for? Now, in many ways, we've answered this question already in our previous point, particularly in our opening point. In that point, I had at the very least suggested that if we who are saved knew that this year would be our last, we would certainly live it differently. But as I personally contemplated such a reality, as I placed myself in the situation of this being my last year, as I stopped and considered this message of my own heart, I had to, as I say, do some soul searching, as it were. Oh yes, we may say, yes, if this year was my last, of course, I would live for the Lord, I'd give my all for the Lord, I'd sell up and I'd go and I'd reach the lost with the gospel, I'd spend every waking hour witnessing to the unsaved. Oh yes, that's what we might like to say, that's what we might like to think, but I wonder, would the reality match the expectation? Would it? I wonder if we only had the remainder of this year to live, how would we change? Yes, we would change. I guarantee every one of us it will change us to such a reality. But how would it change us? In other words, how would we use our last days? Would we use our last days to do the things we want to do? Would we use our last year to tick off some bucket list of things we've never done? Or would we live our last days wholly for the Lord? Now, of course, this question is completely hypothetical. Yet if we could, to even to some degree, comprehend such a reality, and we were honest with ourselves, take the time to consider this. Call honest with yourself. If you knew this was yours, how would you live? Who would you be living for? Would you live for self and do all the things selfishly, say, this is my last year, forget about everybody else, I'm going to live these days for myself, I'm going to get as much enjoyment out of them as I can? Would that be your attitude? Or would it be, I have one short year left, let me do all for the Lord? Oh, may the contemplating of such, and may the reality of the honest introspection and how we answer that question, may it shine a spotlight on where our heart truly lies today. Oh, may we see that as Christians, regardless if we've 1 year, or 50 years, or who knows how many years we have left, our desire should only be the service of the Lord. To live and die for Him. And die completely to self. Listen very carefully to the words of Romans 14 verse 8. It says, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Well, we don't often live like that, do we? We don't live as if we are the Lord. We live as if we are all independent. We live as we like. We're all just about ourselves. Well, we need to live. Be willing to live and die for Him because we are the Lord's. Verse 9, that was Romans 14 verse 8. Consider Romans 14 verse 9. It says there, it really shows us why we should be willing to live and die for Him. It says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. Again, it's because of His death. We should be living for Him because He has died for us. Christ has died for us. He has conquered death for us. We've already noted that through His death, death has lost its sting. But in the following verses, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, that follows on from those wonderful words of death losing its sting, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This verse tells us why we should live, because death has lost its sting. Because God has saved us, because Christ has died for us. We therefore should be those who are abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, say, regardless of how long we've left upon this earth, be it a year, be it less, be it more, be it years and years, be it decades, it doesn't really matter. Regardless of how long we have left, we are to live it for the Lord, because He has died for us. May these words of Jeremiah to this ungodly prophet, yes, they were to him, but may these words be written upon our heart. This year thou shalt die. They said it wouldn't be a very optimistic motto text if ever Nomrod had taken it last Lord's Day. Yet in a sense it is a great motto surely to take. This is the way we should be living our life. That every year, every day is our last. Live with such a sense of the brevity of life. With such, we be stirred to live for the Lord while we are alive. Let us live this year as if it is our last. Let us live it holy unto the Lord. May the Lord take his word. May he bless it to each and every heart. Let us pray. Our loving God and our glorious Father, we thank thee that thou dost often stir us when we are, Lord, slumbering and sleeping. O Lord, we can go weary, we can grow complacent, we can grow, Lord, distracted by the things of this world. Lord, as was said earlier, we can live in such a way as that we think we're nearly going to live forever. But Lord, let us live this day, for this is the day that thou hast given us. This is the day, Lord, we are to live for thee. Lord, let us live with the brevity of life before us. Let us live, Lord, let us not waste an opportunity. O Lord, to meet an unsaved one, let us not waste the opportunity to speak of Christ, for we know not what the day may bring forth. O Lord, let us not waste the opportunity, Lord, of embarrassment or some sense of humility. But Lord, let us speak for Christ, for we know not when again we'd have such an opportunity. Lord, may there be warning this day for any unsaved here in the building or tuning in online, listening to a recording. Lord, they may see that they too know not what the day may bring forth. That they are but there is but a step between them and death. Lord, we pray that they may know that they need a Savior in life. Lord, they are to have salvation in death. O Lord, part each one with thy blessing. O Lord, help us all to sanctify this Sabbath day. To be still in our homes, Lord, to consider our lives, to consider our service for thee. And Lord, bring each one back to the Lord's house tonight. Be with Reverend Ormerod as he would bring the word. We pray, Lord, he'll be a blessing to each and every soul. That thou be pleased to use him for thy glory, we pray. O Lord, bless each one the remainder of this week. Help us all to go into the world and preach the gospel of Christ unto every creature. We ask these things in Jesus' precious, most wonderful name. Amen.